Hey, Sean.
Hey, Bing.
Long time no see.
Oh, not as long as it used to be.
I guess, but I guess podcast-wise, this is one of our longest breaks ever.
True. Yeah, lots of things going on, video work, and also vacations.
Yes. So I'm back in Japan now.
Oh, man, that was fast.
I know. I was there for only, like, I don't know, 12 days or something like that.
Yeah, it seems like it wasn't that long.
No, it was, well, I mean, it's with travel and everything, you just... But I'm back in Japan now, unpacked. Been playing a lot of that Wii U.
Oh, awesome! What do you think?
I really like it. It's fun. I still feel a little sticker shock. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure. Yeah, $350 for a console is it's more than I'm used to paying.
Me too, especially for a Nintendo console.
True. Yeah, it's the highest priced one yet.
And I did buy two games at full price, too.
Although you did get a lot that were on discount, as I recall.
I did. I got several games have dropped to around the $20, $30 mark already, so.
Some were even on deeper sales than that.
Oh, yeah. I got, what was it? Ninja Gaiden. Mm-hmm. Gaiden? Oh, why is Gaiden. This so hard? I have to think for a while. It's like Gaijin. Oh, so Gaiden. Okay, yeah. Ninja Gaiden. Side story. Other story, yeah. I got that for like $13 at Shopko.
Wow.
Which is strange because it hasn't even received a little price drop anywhere else. At GameStop, it's still like $60. I don't know. I guess Shopko was like, this one's not for us.
Maybe if GameStop opened up a copy, they could sell it for more.
My copy of Pikmin, which said new on it, was already opened.
Oh, that's good.
He's like, yeah, the guy is like, no, it's new. It's new. It's just, it's our last copy. And I'm like, really? You've sold out of a Wii U game? Really?
Well, it was around launch time that you got one.
Yeah, but anyway, it was open, and he's like, well, it doesn't really matter. I'm like, I like my stuff to be pristine, and he's like, and the guy's like, no, but these discs are like really tough. Like even if things get moved around, you know, these discs are great. And he's like, have you ever touched one? And I'm like,
never touched one.
And he's like, come here, touch this.
This guy seems like he was touched.
Yeah, I don't know, and I'm like. I'm like, how many other people has he asked to touch this game before I'm buying it? But
right.
But they're weird. You've noticed this. They're all round-edged.
Yeah, there aren't any sharp edges to it. It's really super strange.
It is so odd. Is it like Nintendo's like, oh, man, we don't want kids to cut themselves with these discs. Let's make them. But no, I don't know. It's weird. Is that part of the copy protection?
I doubt it.
Yeah, it just seems... You definitely know it's a Wii U disc because nothing else is printed like that. So it's kind of like a Blu-ray, I guess. The same type of technology, but not paying the licensing to Sony or something?
Yeah, pretty much.
Something like that, because it can't play Blu-ray movies, just like the Wii couldn't play DVDs. Thanks, Obama.
Well,
I'm really liking it. And I dropped a whole bunch of money on it, and I'm like, well, you know, that's what I got to do, because for a long time I was kind of holding off getting the Wii U, because I'm like, you know, there's going to be a price drop. Nintendo's foolish not to drop the price. And then Nintendo released that statement with Iwata going, we're still losing money off the Wii U, so there's no way we can drop the price. And like 3 days later, they dropped the price.
After you bought one.
Yeah, well, I mean, I bought it before that statement came up, but Nintendo's been making statements like that for a while.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter, because by the time they actually drop the price, you know, I'm in Japan, so I'd be paying that much money in shipping anyway, so.
Sure.
But I don't know, I kind of feel like I'm missing out on that Zelda bundle, but then again, I might not have bought that, because you know how I am about digital games, right?
Yeah. For those who don't know yet, and thanks for coming to Famicom Dojo to get your game news for whatever reason, the price is now $299 for the regular deluxe set. Are the basics gone? Is that the story?
Basics are gone.
Yeah.
The rumor is, and I think people have backed this up, that Nintendo was kind of did a quiet recall on them before.
Yeah, we had known that they were doing this before they had done it, and they're like, oh, we're just rebalancing the market because of people are buying the premium or slash deluxe units, and so they're just not going to have that many out in the wild for the basics. And we're like, okay, right, we know they've already announced there's going to be a white deluxe coming out in Japan. Nice try, Nintendo.
It's only a matter of time until they announce I'm saying it'll definitely be ready for Black Friday. They'll have bumped the spec for those white ones. I mean, all it would take would be like opening it up and putting more RAM and flash memory.
Well, you make it sound like someone can just crack one open with a snap of their fingers and just replace a circuit board and then be done with it. It's just a little more complicated than that.
Yeah, but I'm sure I'm sure it's more economical than throwing those away.
Yeah, and, definitely.
Yeah, Nintendo can't be... Wow, they really seem to be taken aback by how badly it's selling.
Well, the Zelda bundle too, right? They're doing a little bit of cost cutting there because, as you mentioned, it's a digital download for the pack and title, which is the Wind Waker HD remake that's coming out next month. Or this month, I should say.
U too, right? I mean, I think it was a physical Zombie U, but I think the Nintendo Land was a download.
Yeah, but now I think we're just getting this Zelda game digital and no Nintendo Land at all with this bundle. But there's some cool Zelda etching on the gamepad, I guess. That's cool.
Like Hyrule Historia or something?
Yeah, also digital.
I thought that was a book.
It is a book. It's a digital book.
So they're giving you a PDF?
As far as I know.
I mean, basically. So you have to read it, what, on the game screen?
I have no idea. I mean, they released that PDF of the Earthbound manual.
Who released that?
Nintendo.
Was that Nintendo who released it?
Yeah.
Okay, I got your email about that or whatever, and I'm really liking it. That's really fun. Okay, so that was officially Nintendo. I thought we were pirating, so...
No, it was... It's kind of part of the reason that they have the $10 price bump, I guess, is because they have this extra content floating out there.
Let's see. You know...
I said the price bump to $10, not a $10 price bump on top of the normal price.
Brother actually has an Earthbound cart.
Oh, no.
And... probably somewhere within the recesses of our basement, a manual, strategy guide, and box as well.
I wonder if those are worth now that you can get a copy of the game that's not physical.
I have heard of people buying cart alone for $200 a few months ago. Now that it's out, I don't think it's changed significantly, but I think the value has gone down. There's no reason why this cart should cost that much. It's just like it's like original prints of Final Fantasy VII. Go for over $100. There's no reason that game should sell for that much. It's the most common PlayStation game in existence.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know.
It's just that people want it, you know?
If you own 50 copies, that's too many.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at it, one of the most common cartridge in existence is the original Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, I suppose. Like the original, or like any variation, in any bundle, like the Mario Duck Hunt one that I have.
I guess I'm talking about Famicom.
Oh,
so.
Famicom, got it. That explains why I got it for like 100 yen or whatever it was in a loose bin.
But for a while there, maybe 5-6 years ago, when Famicom was kind of making this like little reemergence, I think that's in due to. The Game Center CX stuff. I think that really did
sure.
it. You'd for a nice copy of a Super Mario Brothers, you'd pay like $20.
Yeah. Well, it's still not too much, I don't think.
Now you can usually get a nice one for about $10, $11, $12.
I can.
And you can get a dirty marked up one for a couple bucks, but for a while they really went up in price.
I can pay less than that on my brand new 3DS XL.
Oh, there you go. Oh, you got, yeah, I forgot about that. You got that.
Heck yeah. I was all excited. You know, I was waiting to find an excuse to drop $200 on it. I haven't bought any physical carts yet, but I got a backlog of DS games that I've been slowly rebuilding since I lost my DS Lite. Got a bunch of digital things like Nano Assault X, which apparently is supposed to work with a circle pad, which I don't have. But yeah, I'm loving that, and I'm just glad that Nintendo would never, ever, ever think to release some cheaper hardware at all after I buy it.
Well, good night, folks.
What an interesting time. It's like we've been talking about how neither one of us has like a Wii U or 3DS, but the other one did, and convinced each other to buy it, and then we finally buy it, and then these announcements come out at the end of August.
Hey, this has got to be one of the first times that you and I have both owned the same hardware. Think about it.
Yeah, I suppose.
You went Microsoft, I went Sony.
Yes.
We both had a Wii, but during the majority of the time I had my Wii, yours was broken.
Yes, true.
I had a 3DS, you didn't. You had a Wii U, I didn't. Wow, we're actually going to be able to talk about the same games and stuff now.
Yeah, I think the value of this podcast just went up.
I guess, or down.
Or down.
I will be like talking about the same games.
It's like, oh, wasn't that great? Yeah, it was. Moving on.
Instead of like introducing each other to new games that neither of us have played, or one of us, yeah. Anyway,
how do you feel about the 2DS? Because when I first watched that video, even though it was on the official Nintendo channel, I thought it was a joke. I seriously could not believe it was real.
I had to look at a calendar. I'm like, is it April? Because that's That's like a joke I would make.
Right.
It's like a joke we would have put into Famicom Dojo when we're trying.
It's a joke because I should tell people not because we haven't done it yet, but we were going to do a 1DS joke when we were doing the 3D special because 3DS was coming out. We're like, well, what if there was like a Nintendo handheld that was just one pixel high? Maybe we'll still do that.
Well, a line, really. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were thinking of doing a video with the Nintendo 1DS, and we'd already come up with some ideas for games and things like that, and the helmet you'd wear to play it or whatever.
Oh, dear. But yeah, so this is out. It's confusing, but the more people talk about it, the more I realize how good of an idea it is for their target demographic.
Well, like, it took me 2 minutes. Because the first 2 minutes was me spent going on various sites to see if this was real. And then once it was confirmed that it was real, I got it.
Right.
Because the thing that got me was, like, maybe for you, it seemed a little strange at first, right?
Oh, yeah, totally strange.
But for me, I'm like, oh, that's exactly what my wife wants.
Well, even more than that, someone mentioned that that's the exact same day that Pokemon X and Y come out.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And the 2DS resolves three problems that parents have had complaints about with the 3DS. One being the price point. So this is $50 or $70 less in the U.S. than the 3DS or XL, respectively. Is it 40? 40 and 70, sorry. Less. And then that's the big one. So you can basically buy a game like Pokemon at the same price as a regular 3DS. There's no 3D, which some people are still worried about developmental problems with eyes and whatever. So, you know, everyone who owns a 3DS knows that you can slide the thing into 2D mode without a problem. So there's basically just no 3D mode. And the third thing is the hinge, which can break quite easily.
Yeah, and now, I mean, it creates a new problem, of course.
Yeah, that you can't close it and the screen gets scratched up.
Yeah, well, I don't know. If they've, you know, if they put some nice screen covers on or whatever, it'll be fine. Or I'm imagining that there'll be iPad-like cases.
Oh, yeah, Nintendo's selling, like, oh, I see what you're saying, like a hard case? Kind of like a flip-over
stand
thing? Well, I know Nintendo's, like, selling those, like, $13 poly whatever bags.
If Nintendo was smart, they'd give it a magnet thing like the iPad has that if you put one of those cases over, it goes into sleep automatically.
Right. Oh, man. How much did that cost to implement, though? Ah, who knows?
Well, I should be working for Nintendo. They took
the Wi-Fi switch off, but they added the sleep button to it or something like that, right?
No Wi-Fi switch. So to turn off the Wi-Fi, you actually have to go into the menu and turn it off.
Which I'm fine with because I was at GeekCon and I had fat fingered that switch by accident and walked around the convention once, not realizing it was off the entire time, and I didn't get any street passes.
It makes a lot of sense to me because yeah, in my pocket, yeah, I'll be reaching for my keys and I'll turn that thing off. But it will be a little hard. I don't know. Is this a conspiracy theory or is this a real thing? The whole, like, not supposed to use things with signals in an airplane.
What?
You know, you fly an airplane, they tell you to turn off.
Yeah, what are you trying to get at, though?
What I'm trying to get at is one of the things that was really nice about the 3DS was that light blinks when Wi-Fi is going on. So it's very easy for airport staff to know if you've got your Wi-Fi on.
The light's still there, isn't it? I think the light's still there. There's just no switch to turn it off physically.
Oh, okay. I guess I didn't look close enough. But really, I've left that on a couple times, and I'm, you know, not on purpose, but it's been like in my backpack or something.
Right.
And I haven't crashed a plane yet, so.
Yeah, there's lots of anecdotal evidence that people just don't turn their stuff off, and it hasn't caused a problem, obviously.
Tell you the truth, I think it's nice to be on a plane when people can't talk on their cell phones. I don't want
to. I suppose.
So whether it's like a real safety thing or if it's just to make the flight more enjoyable for everyone else, turn those cell phones off on the plane. Thank you.
Well, I mean, you know, once I got over the shock of this thing existing and feeling like I might have missed something, I didn't actually want it, and I was happy with what I had, then I was able to enjoy my 3DS again.
Oh, yeah. But totally, the 2DS totally makes sense, and I think it's going to be a very popular SKU. And it's not going to be popular with people who listen to our podcast, I don't think. Or,
But unless they're parents and their kids are in the target demographic, because I was thinking, like, I can't let my son play with this until he's, like, 12.
Yeah. Oh, no, I understand that. But what I'm saying is you're not going to buy one for yourself.
Oh, no. But then I started thinking, like, you know, these kids get older and the 3DS is still around when they're older. Yeah. They can upgrade and then, you know, do the identity transfer, and then they've sold two 3DSs to the same person.
Exactly. And, you know, I'll be the first. You know, I don't think this thing was necessarily made for, you know, for gamers who are here. Although, to tell you the truth, 90% of the time I play my 3DS, I have 3D off.
Yeah, I haven't had it really felt the need to turn it off very often yet, except I was playing Animal Assault X, and one of the bosses, I just couldn't stand it, and I just turned it down. At least, and then finally off. It's just, I don't know, sometimes it's just not, especially when I have to, like, get a little excited and I kind of jerk the screen a little bit and I lose the sweet spot.
I think enough, yeah, exactly. You got to keep your head exactly in the right place, and you got to, so for a lot of games, I just keep it off. One of the only games that I'll keep it on for is, have you played Mario 3D Land yet?
I have played zero 3DS games yet. I just, like, physical games. I've downloaded a couple things.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Well, it works really well in that game. And I'm guessing, I haven't played the new Star Fox, but is there a new Star Fox on the 3DS? Or Kid Icarus?
It's,
or
no, it's not a new Star Fox. It's the N64 one.
That's it. You know, I'd probably keep the 3D on for that. I can imagine that looking really good. Like in Falcion.
Oh, man, that is such... Well, I don't know, like, leaving money on the table exactly, but it would be cool to see updates to those Famicom 3D system games as downloadable titles.
I want to see Virtual Boy titles.
Ooh, yeah, right? They could totally do that. Why don't they do that?
Resolution would be the screen resolution of the Virtual Boy was actually quite high. I think they could... The thing is, the 3DS resolution is definitely high enough, but when you're doing the 3D... using the method they have, I still think they could probably do it, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have the XL, right? And it doesn't quite do a one-to-one screen resolution with the DS, but you can make it boot up in that mode. Definitely smaller. but it'll stretch it out. I think, you know, it looks fine to me. It's a little bit blurry, but they could easily upscale, you know, another kind of game. I haven't tried any Game Boy games yet, which are like really small, I think.
Well, I hear the emulation runs at full speed though, and that's important to me.
Oh, definitely.
But I don't know. So you're coming in, what, 2 years late to the party? Is it 2 years now?
Two and a half.
Two and a half? Really?
Yeah, because it's about 2 years since the price drop.
Oh, my gosh, because I was thinking it was all nearing 2 years. Well, I guess so. So do you feel like you missed out on anything?
Yes.
I feel I should have bought my Wii U at launch.
Mm. Well, I don't know if you would have missed as much. It's been less than a year. And you got a lot of games really cheap. That would not have happened if it weren't in the state it's currently in.
9 games right now.
Yeah, and most of my games aren't disc titles. I think I own 3, and one of them came with the system. And one of them I bought out of professional curiosity more than I wanted another copy of Mass Effect 3.
Love shrink wrap off that one.
Oh, dear. Well, you got that like for $17 off Amazon or something, right?
It was cheap.
Yeah. I think it's worth playing, especially if you don't... Well, you have a PS3, don't you?
I have a PS3. And that's the thing. I could easily play the Mass Effect trilogy, but I want to play it on the Wii U because I can play it in bed.
Yeah, I remember we were talking about that, and I actually had to like go online and find video proof that it actually works, and then go home and try it for myself before I could confirm that, yes, you should buy this game because you can, in fact, play it on the gamepad. It is an unadvertised feature.
Advertised feature, yeah. And that's when I decided to look into it. I don't know. I kept telling myself that I should play the first two first, now that the trilogy's out. I'm like, I'll play the first two, and then I'll play it on... But you know what? That's never, ever going to happen. If I don't start playing Mass Effect now, I'm never going to play it.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, Dragon Age and all these other titles, you know, it's just... I almost bought Assassin's Creed.
I did buy Assassin's Creed. After you were kind of hemming and hawing about it, I bought it for myself. I haven't opened it yet.
But I'm wondering if that's a series I need to kind of follow all the way.
That's one of those that I play because like Phil Bond plays it, and he mostly plays it for the multiplayer, and so therefore I do as well. And that's kind of how I got into Halo. I never really played it for the story, but it has a pretty interesting story. But so I know, even though I own like not Brotherhood, what came out before that? Maybe it is Brotherhood.
Whatever.
There was Brotherhood, and yeah. Anyway, so there were a few titles in between 2 and 3. So this is really Assassin's Creed 5 or whatever it is, and so the story should be interesting, but I can't bring myself to play it. I've been told that I shouldn't expect much from the multiplayer on the Wii U.
You know, well, no, it's feature compatible. I mean,
it's just not a huge ecosystem of people playing it.
People playing it, and I think that's the problem with the Wii U in general, is that there's not a lot of people on it. I love this system for reasons that maybe aren't going to appeal to your traditional gamer.
I love it that
I can play Earthbound on it.
Right on. Not really a system seller, though.
It is for me. Well, no. For the price of 2 copies of Earthbound, I got a Wii U and Earthbound. But not Earthbound in general, but like being able to play the Virtual Console titles on this, you know, kind of iPad mini sized screen,
right?
Is wonderful. It's because I like portables, but when I'm at home, I don't want to play a portable because it's a tiny little screen.
Sure.
But what's just amazing about this is I can just play it on my TV and then take it in another room, throw my headphones on, and for a dad, for a gaming dad, this is wonderful.
Absolutely.
My daughter's coming in the room and going, I want to watch Dora. And I'm like, okay, I'll just stick these headphones in. You can watch Dora, and I can continue my game.
What if, though, you only have the one Wii U, and you watch Netflix through it or whatever, and you have to give it up anyway?
Well, luckily... about that sort of thing. And I can't use, since I have an American Wii U, I can't use Hulu or Netflix on it.
Right.
Yep.
Stupid ISP, whatever nonsense.
I tried to connect my Wii U to it, and it just went, no. I'm not even going to let you play Japanese games. You think I'm going to let you use Japanese Hulu? hashtag region-free Wii U.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, I'm still a little upset about Nintendo there. Nintendo, since you listened to this podcast, I'd like to let you know about the money you left on the table these last 2 weeks. I saw Shin Megami Tensei 4 at the store, and I saw Fire Emblem, and Luigi's Mansion 2, and The Laden Game. And I would have bought these games, Nintendo, but the 3DS I have is Japanese, and it won't play them.
Yeah.
So, I didn't buy any of them, because buying those games is something I could have afforded, but buying another DS and those games didn't seem to be a proposition I wanted to take advantage of. So,
even at $130 for a 2DS?
The 2DS. No! Nintendo, I'm not going to reward your bad behavior.
Yeah.
Nope. Your bad behavior. But I'm not buying two of either system this generation. I have two Wiis, and it already looks weird.
Yeah, you've been getting comments on YouTube about it now, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, you didn't see that? You replied to it.
Oh, yeah, that one. That one during the Spelunker video. Or,
yeah.
The Games with Lights video. Yeah, watch that video. That was that's a fun one. I've gotten Spelunker since then. I should do an update to that video. I still need Deadly Towers. I forgot what the name is in Japan, but that's all five of them.
Oh, if you hear a clicking in the background, it's because I'm walking, quote unquote, my DS right now, and I'm checking how many steps I have.
Yeah, whatever.
It's almost before midnight, and I want to get my 10 coins.
Really?
So this is a big selling point for me, was the Street Pass thing. I've been hearing about it from Phil forever, and so I'm like, all right. So I'm wholeheartedly like into this. The only problem is I'm not in an environment where I run into anyone who owns a 3DS.
You're playing the RPG thingy?
Yeah, there's Find Me, which is okay, I guess. That's as built in. There's the Puzzle Swap, which is a lot more interesting. And then there's an opportunity for $15 to buy 4 downloadable Mi Plaza games. And I passed that up because only 2 of them seemed interesting to me, and that's only $10. So I bought Warrior's Way or whatever it's called. And I'll probably buy the spaceship shooting one, whatever that one's called, later on. But the other two, I don't really care about plants, so.
I have no idea what you're talking about right now, so.
You must have access to that with your Japanese one, right?
I don't know. I don't know about these, what are these?
Have you never gone to the Mi Plaza?
No.
Well, let me tell you. So you street pass people before, right? Yeah, so that you have to go into the Mi Plaza for that.
Okay.
And there are games in the Mi Plaza. You have never done the puzzle swapping game?
Puzzle swapping game. Did the, I don't know, I call it RPG.
You call it what?
The RPG. I don't know.
Yeah, it's called Find Me in America.
It's called Find Me?
Yeah.
What a dumb name.
Well, there's Chase Me on Nintendo Land. Have you played that yet?
Opened Nintendo Land yet.
Ooh, okay.
Okay, wait. It's called Find Me?
Yeah.
The one you're, like, attacking skeletons and monsters and zombies and things is called Find Me?
Is that what it is? There's this one where, like, your me gets captured.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you're, like, fighting ghosts and whatever with the people you street pass with.
What a stupid name. It's got some kind of really long, like, Densetsu-type title in Japanese. Really? Find Me.
Yes.
Nintendo's kiddie system. Okay.
Why did I pay for this? Yeah, so you don't know that you can download... It requires an update, but you can download 4 more games for it. At least you can in America.
No idea.
Hmm.
I guess I just didn't care. But once you beat Find It unlocks Find Me 2.
Yes.
And I'm playing through that right now. And I met this guy. He's all glowy, and all my Miis run away from him or just don't do anything. And it's really bugging me because I don't know how to beat him because I can't read anything. I guess I could. I should do what my friends do and like take the time to sit down and look up the kanji and find out what's and figure out who what characters do what. But I just want to slash at things.
Oh, do you know what's great? I was stuck on this part because I needed to street pass someone with like a yellow magic power or like had the same color as like this shield on like a knight. And no one, like I was at GeekCon and I got like 30 street passes in about 2 hours and no one was yellow, not a single person. And then I run into you and you were yellow. And I was able to progress finally.
There you go.
It was awesome.
It was a destined meeting.
Yes, it was great. I think I might have gotten it on film too because I got. So we shoot past each other twice in the same day because then the time had passed. But good times.
My DS is set to Japan time. So around noon, like it switched over to a new day.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah, that could be. But yeah, then wouldn't mine know it was still the same day? Ah, doesn't matter, I guess.
No, or care.
it's worth experimenting with, possibly. But I was... Since then, the only time I have been able to street pass anyone was when I went over to Phil's house on Thursday.
Yeah.
Oh, I take it back. I went to Toys R Us and I closed their kiosk and opened it up again.
Oh. Say.
Their software has not been updated since the original version.
I gotta say that walking around America with the Nintendo DS was very disappointing.
Oh yeah. Well, you were kind of in a lot of nowhere places as far as population density.
Yes, but like I went to the Mall of America.
Oh, there is that. Okay. Yeah.
The Mall of America, and I got 5 street passes.
That's not so good.
To the mall in my tiny town and walk around for all day. I'll 2 or 3 times.
Right.
The DS is just not lighting the charts on fire like it is in Japan. Everybody's got it and everybody keeps it with them all the time.
I'm kind of hoping, I work in kind of a big building or a big set of buildings, that maybe if I just like take a lunch period and just like walk through all the buildings, I might find one person. So far, nothing.
That's so pathetic. Use your whole lunch period hoping to pass somebody so you can get puzzle pieces.
Not just that. I need to like increase the size of my army in Warrior's Way.
Okay, now what's Warrior's Way?
So, all right. You like are the ruler of a, you know, feudal style Japanese kingdom. You're a daimyo, basically.
Okay.
And every time you pass someone, the size of their army gets added to yours. And you're able to beat like 20 countries, I believe it is, but they're all kind of like this long serpentine path. Although, from what I understand, the size of each army is set at whatever, in proportion to like the size of whatever your army is when you meet them. So you can't really like just scale up and like plow through it. It's gonna level up with you. And so there was this one point where I was kind of stuck and I felt like I had to really include more. And Phil's like, no. They've, you know, they designed it this way. You just need to pick your strategy correctly. And I was able to beat an army in more than twice my size as a result of that, which was pretty cool. But so yeah, whoever you street pass with, they'll add their army to yours. And then you go in and you can decide to invade the next country. And it's this whole like rock, paper, scissors, system to it, and so you as the player always have one of each kind. It's like spears, swords, and I forget what else. And then your opposing country will have a different combination. Like the first one you face is all like spears or something, and so you're able to pretty easily defeat them by either, you know, having one army of like certain brute strength, and then the other one that just beats them in the rock, paper, scissors formulation. But the thing is that it gets a little more complicated. There's more combinations, and you never know what army your opponent's going to send out first. But Phil assures me that you can gain a spying ability later on as you level up to make that determination to make the game easier. So I haven't quite gotten that far. I've beaten 3 or 4 countries now. And what's the last thing? If you run into someone who's beaten the game, I guess they're a monarch, and they don't add their army to yours anymore. Which is too bad, because Phil had like 3 million.
Wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other people need to own this game.
Yes, the other people had to have downloaded it into their Mi Plaza and paid the $5 or part of the $15 pack.
We're gonna run into anybody with this thing.
That could be. I mean, the Toys R Us one didn't have it, and I got like 89 people off of them, which is like nothing, basically. So yeah, you really need someone who's been playing the game and has built up an army of their own. And you can also choose to fight them if they're a monarch, which, you know, when you have 2,000 and they have 3 million, you're not going to win.
That's the problem with all this stuff, though. I mean, with the Nintendo 3DS, and this is a problem I have.
Okay,
is, you know, and it's the same with like smartphone stuff. The other person needs to have the same software, and when you don't run into people who even have the same heart, it just makes it. Unless you live in like New York City, right, and know a lot of kids, right, you know, you're never going to get what you need. It works pretty well in Japan because Japan's so condensed and the kids are so into their games, you know. But even then, like, other than, I think Street Pass works really well for Find Me and the puzzle one.
Yeah.
Everybody's already got it, so everybody's right. Doing it. It works great.
Well, the puzzle one has some restrictions too, because if you just have the basic software, you know, there's just the stuff that can be automatically generated or you can trade. But later updates have these purple pieces that you can only get by swapping them with someone else who has them. You can't just get them by paying for coins, and so you won't find other people with those puzzles at all if they haven't updated their system.
That's true. All right, now, when the 3DS first came out, a friend of mine bought the Street Fighter 4 port for the Nintendo 3DS.
Oh my.
And it has a Street Pass feature where you can like build up a fighter and you can fight them with other people who are using it. But not the other person have to have that game, but they have to have that game in the system.
Oh, okay.
Like, this was near launch when there was only, I don't know, like 17 games available for the hardware, you know.
Right.
And he'd walk all around, and I think like maybe once a week he'd pass someone else who had the game. But then as more games got released and less people were playing the launch titles, you know, it's just done.
Maybe it depends on the game, because I was led to believe that wasn't the case with everything.
What do you mean?
If there are games with that feature enabled, for some of them anyway, I thought that it was enough to have played the game for that some of that data to still get swapped.
I guess it depends on the game. I think it works that way.
Okay.
Then again, I don't know. I wonder if it matters whether you have the cart version or you downloaded it to your.
Oh, that's true too. That's kind of something I haven't decided if I'm going to do yet or not. I have a 32 GB card that I actually got from my Wii U before I realized that you can't do anything with it for the Wii U unless you're like saving me data to it or something, like photos you've taken. Because otherwise it's just for use with the Wii mode, which I haven't, you know, I still have my Wii, so I haven't had use of that. So I swapped them out. And you know, the intent of buying a lot of eShop stuff, and I'm like faced with a decision, like when Zelda comes out, Link Between Worlds, do I get a physical copy at all? I haven't had this dilemma before.
Physical. Oh.
You think so?
Yeah, of course.
But then I have to have the card with me, and what if I want to play a DS game? I don't know.
I don't know. You could put it in your pocket. I mean, wow. First world problems.
I guess.
Okay. Well, I guess it depends. If you buy the game and you have it on your 3DS, it's definitely convenient. You'll have it on there for good.
Yep.
You have to ask yourself a few questions.
Sure.
Okay. The first one is, am I okay with this game having no having any monetary value?
Yes. I never sell my stuff.
And that's a good one there, you know. Number two, am I okay with the fact that if my hardware breaks, that this game may not in the future be able to be downloaded again?
That's a good point. So I may have tweeted somewhat erroneously that I haven't bought a U.S. system since like the Game Boy Color in 1999.
Yeah.
That wasn't entirely true. I bought the original Game Boy Advance and the DS Fat when they came out, but they were both quickly replaced by the Game Boy Advance SP and the DS Lite respectively, both Japanese versions. Unfortunately, both of those systems met untimely demises. The SP screen got like hit in the back somehow at some point by something. I didn't see it happen, but when I opened it up, it was all spiderwebbed, useless. If anything was on that system, I had to go to Nintendo to get it replaced.
Yeah.
So there's that. What's that?
You couldn't really store anything on the SP anymore.
No, you couldn't.
Yeah.
And then got the DS Lite, which is the last DS that was released before the DSi, which you could download things onto. And I just lost that one. Like that one's just gone. And even the current scheme doesn't allow for me to recover that stuff.
Yep.
So yeah, there is that. Unfortunately, you know what? As it was a DS Lite, I had most of my most played games with them, and they're all gone too. So it didn't kind of matter anyway. All the physical copies were gone as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, you know, Nintendo system right now is still tied to hardware, which I have a problem with. It's not tied to, you know, it's not tied to a unified account system yet. When they do that, I might feel a little better, but I'm always going to go physical if I can.
Sure.
I adore that I only had to pay $10 for my copy of Earthbound. That's wonderful. But if I actually owned the cart and I needed some money to, right. I don't know, pay a medical bill or something, you know, it's sitting there, it's money.
Right.
If I needed to, I'll sell my copy of Xenoblade. You know,
sure.
I can get $2 for that. But if I had downloaded it, you know, it wouldn't be worth anything.
True.
So, I mean, but I, like you, very rarely sell games. They have to be pretty terrible games for me to sell them.
Yeah, and if they are that terrible, chances are you're not going to sell them at all.
Well, I mean, I sold all of my stuff right before I got married, which turned out to be a mistake, as I've been slowly rebuying.
A mistake for whom? For her or for you?
I figured it was time to grow up.
Right.
And, you know, we needed the closet space. I basically had like two entire closets full of video games.
Right on.
Mostly hardware and like a bunch of software and stuff. And there's still a bunch at my parents' house in America. And I thought, you know, I have room for my wife to move in her stuff, you know, and we're planning to have kids. So I decided that my game stuff would take up.
Oh, yeah. Kids hate games.
Yeah, well, they love to. A lot of software didn't survive the first kid, you know. And taking the manuals out and ripping them up.
Yeah, there's that.
But like, I decided that all my game stuff was going to take up the top part of the shelf of one closet. And I did. I was very good for a while. And if I bought a new game, I got rid of an old one. You know? And now I'm back to taking up most of a closet. I can't help it. It's an addiction. reaction. You saw my tweet.
Yeah, I saw the box Famicom you bought. Yeah.
Well, you don't. I don't. Okay, I have like four different things that can play Famicom cart games. If there's now buying Twin Famicom, which I bought right before America, the Turbo Twin that I needed. I needed that. That's a good purchase. I needed that.
Well, that, obviously.
I had no way of playing disc games, except for the disc system I have. But it's a pain to set up.
Yeah.
I have a problem. But anyway. So I didn't feel bad about paying $10 for Earthbound. I like to support that. But at the same time, if I have any choice on the matter, I will buy physical anytime.
Okay.
Always.
Okay.
Like game boxes. I like manuals. I like, I don't know, hardware. And I feel like I got a better value for my money than just buying recycled electrons.
Right.
I love what you're doing. I mean, it's the same, like, I have, you know, Hulu, and there's a lot of movies on there, but if there's a movie I really, really like, I'll still buy the DVD.
Sure, and you can, yeah. At least for now, you can.
Well, for now, yeah. I have bought a few movies off of iTunes, mostly movies for my daughter, and the reason is they're significantly cheaper than buying the DVD.
Right.
But when I do buy a DVD now, like a Blu-ray, I try to get that like Blu-ray DVD digital copy back.
Right. Although I've never availed myself of digital copy so far. Like I have my Game of Thrones season 2 digital copy still waiting to be redeemed.
Yeah,
those expire too, which is the weird thing.
Your digital codes, I'll buy them from you.
Wow, there's a market for that.
I have an Apple TV. I don't know. Is that legal? I mean,
sure. Why not?
Another person? I guess so. You can give your Club Nintendo points to another person.
Shh. Don't tell. You can only redeem them once, though, per account. So.
Well, yeah, that. But like, I mean, when I was never doing Club Nintendo things. So whenever I used to buy games, I just put the code out on Four Color Rebellion or something.
Man.
Now that I think about it, I could have had all this Mario stuff.
Yeah, what did I get? I got my platinum reward was for this year was that Majora's Mask soundtrack was like the most interesting thing I saw. Like last year, it was those platinum. It was like see through playing cards, which was an interesting kind of nod to Nintendo's origins, and were kind of nicely. Made, although I feel like they missed some opportunities with like the different face cards. But yeah, it seems like people who've been doing that for a long time, the rewards have been going downhill in America. But in Japan, I don't know, they might have better luck.
Those awesome Hanafuda cards and the Mario hats and the, I don't know, they got all kinds of cool stuff. I but you know what I do? I just buy platinum rewards at the video game stores. A lot get them, don't care about them, and they cash them in, and they're not that expensive.
I suppose.
Like, got the Game & Watch collection that was just a platinum reward in Japan. Yeah. Or not a platinum reward. A point redemption award. I don't know. Something. I got that for $10.
Yeah, the thing I value more was the gold Wii nunchuck that I got.
That's cool.
That wasn't even a platinum reward. That was just I had to get enough points for it, and I had enough old DS games and Wii games hanging around that I was able to cobble it together. Unfortunately, I think I was too late for the GameCube stuff, even though I had a whole bunch of points for that I could have redeemed years ago. Ah, well.
But anyway.
Yeah.
So, the Wii U.
Yes.
Really liking it.
Yes.
And I'm sitting there playing it, and I'm like, I didn't think I would like it as much as I do.
I tried to tell you how great it is.
No, like I tried to tell you how... No, I didn't really try to tell you how good the DS was. I'm still making up my mind on that thing.
Really? Well, I got more to say about that, but tell me about the Wii U.
Okay. So I'm sitting there, and I'm on that controller, and I'm playing Mario, and I die on this pit because I'm a terrible video game player.
Okay.
Four different comments that people have went. They're like, "This pit again!" And I'm like, "Oh, lots of people have fallen in this pit, and they post about it, and I could post about it too."
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know why, but I thought that is so neat.
Yeah.
I feel shared a gamer moment with other people there.
Right, totally.
And then when I finally beat this one level I was working on for a while, I wanted to announce it. So I scribbled something on the Mii thing and I uploaded it. And now I know that other people, when they beat it, get to see my congratulatory message, you know?
Right on.
It's like, it's social interaction, but without the pressure.
Oh, totally.
It's really well integrated. I think Miiverse is awesome.
Oh, definitely. And you got on when a lot of the new features were added. So like you can log in now and see your stuff online, like through a web browser, which didn't exist before. There's that sketch program now too, that you can upload like color drawings and stuff, and it didn't exist before. And a lot more communities than existed at launch, definitely.
Make with that? That is fantastic. I can't even get my head around how good some of these are.
It's crazy. And you can have Japanese friends. You can't converse with them in Japanese because for some reason the American gamepads don't have software for the Japanese character sets installed. But you can draw in Japanese if you want.
Yeah. But yeah, I am not loving how long it takes to load various things.
Really? That, even with the update?
Yeah, it seems ridiculous. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
That's kind of crazy. Yeah.
If your smartphone did that, you'd throw it across the room.
So that's one thing I noticed right away with the 3DS was that if I ever want to go to the home screen again, I just push the home button and the menu comes up. It suspends the software and I'm browsing around doing whatever I need to do. And if I need to launch new software, it'll be like, you want to close the old software? And I say yes almost all the time.
The Wii U is a power. But I mean, okay, look at the Wii.
Mm.
When you went into settings, it took nothing. It was just instant.
I wonder if part of the problem is because when you go into the Wii U menu, it's not really just the menu, it's the whole plaza that has to load up. And if you didn't have to wait for that, it wouldn't be an issue. Like they could probably still do it where it didn't bring up the whole plaza and you just had your scrollable menu of stuff that you could launch.
Most of the time, I don't care what's going on in the plaza. I just want to change my settings or load a game.
Yeah, right. And
it's ridiculous, you know. And then going back to the menu after changing my small setting or something takes forever. Going to the eShop browsing around is a chore.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay, the Raymond challenges app, which is great. It took me forever to find it.
Yeah, I can't get to the virtual console stuff unless there's like a virtual console button on the front page. Otherwise, I have to like search for games I know are virtual console games, or like, you know, check off NES and Super NES.
I mean, it's gonna save me money, but like when I go into iTunes. iTunes is so good about like pulling up apps that I might be interested in and stuff like that. You know, the whole discovery thing. It's really easy. For Wii, it's like, okay, we got these games, but we don't really want to show you them. You might buy them, and it's so much work. I don't know. It's really like Nintendo doesn't want my money that much.
It's really so strange that like the people running the 3DS stuff and the Wii U couldn't talk to each other and like have a common interface, especially since, like, you know, as someone who came into the Wii U first and has been playing it for almost a year, that like there are sounds, like actual like cues on the 3DS that are from, you know, like like also the Wii U has. And I guess the common ancestor there is the Wii, but, you know, it's really strange how much stuff got recycled from the 3DS to the Wii U that and what things just did not make the jump, which I guess kind of explains why they're unifying the OS developers or something.
Hope so. I mean, that's the rumor. And also the rumor is that we might finally get accounts. Like, if I had an account that's... If my Wii U broke, I just have to log into it again with another Wii and I can re-download everything, like how PlayStation 3 works, how an Xbox 360 works, yeah. How an iPad.
Yeah.
I'd get a lot more stuff. But right now, I bought Earthbound for $10, knowing full well that I may never be able to play it on any other hardware.
Yeah, they had to deliberately like release a 3DS system update to allow you to save your game states off to an SD card for your downloadable stuff because it just didn't exist before. They just didn't think about it, which is just baffling to me.
Thought about it. Sometimes I just think they're evil.
I just feel like who was it? There was some interview recently where like you know they mentioned that the whole Wii U username and password system was like their first step toward a unified account, but it's not there yet, and like they just haven't figured out how to do it. Well, you know your competition figured it out a generation ago. They figured it out before the iPhone even came out. Like, get it together, Nintendo. Come on.
Yeah, it's not like you didn't hit. I mean, I thought they would be really coming into this, like, hitting the ground running, because they pretty much stopped Wii game development for, like, 3 years before the Wii U came out. They pretty much, like, gave up on that. So I'm like, they must be working real hard to plan this next thing. And then they come out and they're like, do-do-do-do-do, we're Nintendo.
I'm sleepy. I gotta find that video.
Just, oh man, I don't know. And then they come on and they're like, well, game development's taking longer because we didn't realize HD game development would take this long. And I'm like, yeah, because you didn't do it last gen, and you didn't learn how in the meantime. Way to go, Nintendo. We're so critical of Nintendo, but yet we are just talking about now how we both own all their hardware.
I know. It's this wonderful love-hate relationship, right?
Hating Nintendo fans. So I now that you've got that, you got a Wii U, you got the 3DS, do you need more? A lot of stuff's coming out.
Okay, so what really restricts my game playing more than anything right now is time. Money is not really as much of an issue, although money is tighter than if I were, say, you know, still single and without children. But I just can't. It's really hard for me to justify dropping $60 on a single game. So I'd rather spend that $60 buying five games on the eShop or something. I guess like really strange things happening. Like I guess Nano Assault was originally like a cartridge game, and then they made the eShop version, and which added some other features plus circle pad support, and that's the version you want to get now, the eShop version. I suppose the Adventure Time game is like $20 on eShop and $20 physical copy if I want to try and hunt one down, or I could just buy it at the eShop, real easy. It feels like an eShop title. Like there are these things that came out on cartridge for like $40, I don't feel like it's worth it. So they're kind of still finding their niche, right? I don't want to reward them for failure, I guess. So I'm really enjoying the indie titles, especially the Kickstarter games that like are promising Wii U support.
Oh, what is there, like Shovel Knight?
Shovel Knight's one of them. Yep.
Well, not the Mega Man like. Yeah.
Yeah, that just got announced. That's amazing.
Number 9, yeah, I backed it. I'm such a pushover when it, like, I backed so many Kickstarter things, and I've got a game so far out of Kickstarter.
I haven't gotten any rewards yet. Like, if I had done the Legends of Larry one, which wasn't on Wii U, I'd have that. But as we all know what happens to the Double Fine Adventure, I backed a children's book.
Yeah?
That should be getting shipped soon. That's my first reward I'm going to get. Physical reward, too, so...
I've backed a couple of movies, and one of them just, the director just disappeared.
Well, that's fun.
But I backed it for like $4, you know.
Sure.
I'm not really too worried. But a number of the things that I have back that are games, I'm okay with. I'm not... Shovelite's going to be great.
Well, naturally.
Wasteland 2, despite that it's taking a lot longer than planned, is going to be awesome. The gameplay videos are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else have I backed? Oh, all kinds of stuff. And I'm not really worried about any of them not getting done. You know, I've become more savvy with my Kickstarter backing. Like, someone has one up right now that's like, give me the money to make a director's cut of Ghostbusters 2.
And I'm like, what's...
Were you the director? Like, with this $100,000, I'm going to interview Bill Murray and stuff like that. And I'm like, and you are?
Unless you're Ivan Reitman, I don't see... Well, he directed that, right?
Yeah, so... You know, it's just this kid, and his heart's definitely in the right place. And with $100,000, he might be able to get some of those interviews. He might be able to get Sigourney Weaver or Rick Moranis, you know.
Wait, does he think that interviews are what make a director's cut? Because that's not what that means.
Get the footage that they filmed for Ghostbusters 2 that got left on the cutting room floor, like when Rick Moranis' character becomes the fifth Ghostbuster and all this. Apparently the story was quite different, but they changed to be more in line with the cartoon series.
He knows this was film, right? And that there aren't like digital assets you can like put into like Microsoft Movie Maker or whatever.
Well, what else is I'm like, okay, so even if you got a hold of that footage, you wouldn't own the rights to the movie.
Right.
So I'm just reading this, and the Kickstarter comments that the people backing him were like, this is so great! I've always wanted to see the true director's vision, and I'm like, but this guy isn't the director. What? You know?
Wow.
So I'm like, okay.
There's no cure for stupid, I guess.
The thing is, for this Kickstarter, I don't see any malice. You know what I mean?
Right.
This really doesn't look like he's trying to rip anybody off, but it just seems like... I think you need to know a little more about... And I think that's why we keep dragging our feet on our Kickstarter.
Well, there's another reason now.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, we definitely got to do it right. I mean, we have the rights to our own footage. That's not a problem. It's more to do. Yeah, oh, by the way, it was Ivan Reitman who directed Ghostbusters. I was right. But yeah, we're getting there, but I think it's going to be after the new year for various reasons, some personal, some tax related.
Yeah. I mean, but the thing is, that's the thing. I love Kickstarter, but I don't always trust Kickstarter, so when we launch ours, we have to make it one that people will trust. You know, we need to know exactly where the money's going, how it's broken down, so that people don't feel like they're, you know, throwing money at a project. And we have to have a realistic timetable as well.
Yeah, we didn't know we had the time to dedicate to it as well.
But yeah, so sorry for everyone waiting for the Kickstarter. It's still coming. We've recorded the Kickstarter video already.
Yep.
We have the goals all set up.
Yep.
Well, I mean, we might add a couple more, but we're just basically waiting to hit the button until the moons line up right. So
that's not to say that we won't work on it in the meantime. Like, we know what we have to get done before it even starts. So in the meantime, we're going to keep doing the things we know we're going to do as the baseline for our goal, because we still want to do something. Even if this thing fails, we want to get something out there. And it may not be a Blu-ray at that point, but you know, we definitely want to get all the bells and whistles and whatever done. So just because we're waiting to launch the Kickstarter doesn't mean it's going to take that much longer. It'll probably mean the shorter time frame, and we're still going to try and target a similar release date if we started it now.
Special edition stuff. We're gonna make menus. We are going to work on getting our commentary for all the episodes recorded. We're still working on the content, but without any money.
So it'll go about as fast as it would normally.
Oh, man. In fact, we were filming some stuff just last week.
Oh,
funny.
Yeah.
Let's save that till the next episode.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. So, yeah, I think I'm a fan of the 3DS. I'm sorry it took so long to jump on board, but I feel like now, because, you know, it launched without a lot of the features available, and if I had gotten it and paid $250 for it before it was as mature as it was now, I might not like it as much as I currently do.
And when it comes to the Wii U, I like it more than the Wii. And I was a pretty big fan of the Wii.
Yeah, I'm feeling that right now. I went back and I played some Wii games. It's like, oh, I think the reason I didn't play this was just because of, like, lack of interest, a dying Wii. And then I discovered I actually just really don't like Mario Galaxy that much.
What? All right. What?
Oh, I guess I can't just end on that, can I?
Wait. You don't like Mario Galaxy? Do you also not like love and puppies and world peace?
Oh, goodness. It's not that great of a game.
What?
I feel like I've played it before.
What?
Yeah. Like especially like the Bee Kingdom, right? It's like the second galaxy you unlock. And it just feels like a Mario 64 level with, you know, higher polygon count. I could just go back and play Mario 64. I could play it on my 3DS in 3D if I really wanted to.
I don't think we can do this show anymore, Sean. What? You know what I hate? Mass Effect.
Oh, you didn't inflate it. That's not even fair. I at least gave Mario Galaxy 2 tries. I almost called it Galaxy Quest.
I would play Mario Galaxy Quest.
That would be pretty good.
What?
I'll just have to go into it some other time, I think. I'm going to keep trying, but I think I'd rather play Other M or some other game, Wii games that I haven't finished.
You know, a lot of people really hate Other M. How do you feel about it?
The story is terrible, but I like the play style.
I still haven't played Other M, but I bought because it looked to me like a 2D Metroid with bits of Prime thrown in.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Whatever. And then everybody was like, terrible game, and I just kind of didn't play it, but it still looked good, and I really want to play it.
No, they sort of turned Samus into this baby crazy chick who can't do anything without a man's permission.
Oh, so they finally made her a realistic character.
Oh. Anyway.
Because of video games, at least.
Right. I feel like we have to do that that episode about women in video games.
Yeah, we've been trying to get that one done for a while. All right, so the whole thing with the Wii U, though, is I think maybe I fell into the trap that I often fall into of not making my own decision.
Like, so
I read a lot of message boards a lot, and everyone's so critical of
read NeoGAF.
Yeah, I read NeoGAF all the time, and Joystick, and Kotaku, and well, everything's down on the Wii U. And for some of this, I think a lot of it comes down to just not having tried it.
Yeah, which is stupid.
Because before I tried it, a lot of what they were talking about seemed really dumb. Miiverse seemed like a dumb, like, Facebook for babies.
No.
Or like Twitter with drawings or something, you know. It just seemed really stupid to me, and I don't know why people were making a big deal about it. And now I knew that I'd like the second screen gameplay, you know, for being able to play games in bed, but what I didn't realize was how many of the games are actually enhanced by doing it. Like, play the Wonderful 101 demo yet?
Not yet.
Oh. It's probably one of the best uses of the second screen I've seen so far.
Really? Because, like, the reviews I've seen so far of the ones I've been directed to, because I don't really seek these things out, complained about how difficult some of the more advanced moves were to execute accurately.
Yeah, and then that's the problem with the gaming generation we're living in right now, is, wow, Nintendo's really in a bad spot right now. Because Nintendo releases games that have, like Pikmin and stuff that have all these, like, built-in tutorials, and everyone's like, games, too much hand-holding. You don't figure out anything for yourself. And then they release Wonderful 101, and people are like, where's the tutorial? I don't know. I don't think there's anything wrong with a game being hard if it's made well.
Right.
And I don't know. Yeah, the biggest criticism I see is people are like, I have no idea how to put combos together, so I don't use them, so the game's really hard, you know?
Right.
I don't know. Like, I think that's why fighting games went away, too, pretty much.
Some people pay money for, like, Candy Crush because they don't actually know how to play the game.
Yeah. Press A to win.
So if you really want, boys and girls, Nintendo can make these free-to-play games, and you can just pay them money to get past the parts you find too hard.
Oh!
Mic drop.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Mic drop at the Super Mario Galaxy.
Oh, true.
Come on, admit that the graphics and sound are amazing.
Oh, it's gorgeous. I don't deny that. I'm just not enjoying it. Like, it really, no pun intended, kind of plumbs my nostalgia glands a little too obviously for my taste. And I'm just sort of resistant to it at this point.
I guess. But you're not really a modern Mario fan in general, are you?
Not so much. Like, I played New Super Mario Brothers on DS. Also lost with the rest of my collection. Didn't really care for the Wii or Wii U versions. Although I kind of want to try Super Luigi U.
Like, and maybe it's because I'm always looking for games to play with the family, but I've had no end of fun playing New Super Mario Brothers Wii with my wife. It's so fun.
I did try to play Mario Galaxy with my wife when it was new, before she was my wife, and she just wasn't into it.
Mario Galaxy is not really a multiplayer game.
It
much.
Isn't.
Starrights or whatever, but New Super Mario Brothers Wii, I think is a great game, and New Super Mario Brothers Wii U, I think is a better game.
Okay, well I played a bit, you know, single player at a store demo when I was waiting for someone to come by and unlock the 3DS cabinet for me. And I don't know, it's just like, oh, I can just go home and play Lost Levels, which I haven't actually played all the way through ever.
But I mean, I find the characters a little too floaty for my taste.
Yeah, it's really floaty, that's true.
I mean, they are, but like, that's the way all platformers are these days. It's still not nearly as floaty as like Little Big Planet or something like that. But I prefer the tight controls, I think, you know, of something like Super Mario World, Super Mario 3, you know. But I think the modern Marios are very fun games, and the level design is fantastic.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll have to try it out. I know Phil has a copy.
They do get a little samey in visual presentation, but the level design is very creative, especially on the later worlds. And I think they're definitely worth giving a try. And Galaxy, I guess it's the same kind of formula as Super Mario 64. But the thing
Mario Sunshine.
Mario Sunshine had a really different dynamic, though.
Yeah, the whole concept is, you know, you have a specific world. You can go in multiple times through subtle variations to get different stars. And I'm just... yeah.
I guess. I mean, I think there's more variety between, you know, between 3D Marios than there are, say, between sequential games of a third-person shooter genre, you know.
Well, you haven't played Mass Effect 3, have you? 1, 2, or 3, I should say.
Wait a second. You're saying that it's a first-person shooter?
Oh, it's a third-person shooter. I thought it was a third-person. Sorry.
Maybe I did. But I was referring more to, like, Call of Duty, Halo, things like that.
Oh, sure.
I think I find Mass Effect's more story based.
It
right?
is, yes, but even so, the combat mechanics do change from game to game. Not in drastic ways, but you know enough that they're not the same each time.
But I mean, I don't know. And I think that's good. It's good that we like different things, because I can be all. I don't like Halo. There.
That's fine. Technically, I don't think I like Halo either.
All right.
This will be good, though. We have the same systems now, but we're not going to play the same games. So this is still going to be interesting.
Play the same games. I don't think.
Would you play the Adventure Time game?
Would I play the Adventure Time game? Okay. Now, here's your mic drop moment. Okay. I don't really know what Adventure Time is.
Oh, no, that's fine, because you've been in Japan for the last 10 years and have no way to watch it.
Hearing about it, I see this dog.
Yeah.
White dog.
Yellow.
Yellow.
Okay. Finn wears a white hoodie.
No. And many people tell me, you should watch Adventure Time. You should watch Adventure Time. Isn't it an adult cartoon?
No, it's a regular Cartoon Network cartoon, I believe.
Cartoons I've pretty much given up on because they're all the same now.
Oh, God.
It's all like, non-sequitur, 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 non-sequitur. Ha, 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 violence.
Okay, I can't argue with you there, but there's something special about Adventure Time.
Okay, well then, is that something I can watch with my kids?
Yes.
That's...
Will they understand it? I have no idea. I'm not sure I understand it.
Is it like SpongeBob?
I think it's better than SpongeBob.
I don't like SpongeBob. But I don't know. For some reason, in my mind, Adventure Time equals kind of like SpongeBob.
Okay, keep this in mind. The implication that they never really say out loud, hence being an implication, is that they're living in some kind of post-apocalyptic future. But that's not really like the thrust of the story. It's just like you just find little hints every now and again that, you know, everyone around them is a horribly mutated person from before this apocalypse.
Oh.
It's kind of interesting. Anyway.
I have to watch Adventure Time. Okay.
Yes.
So, what do you think of the future prospects for these systems?
Everyone's crying about how Nintendo should stop making hardware still, even though they're profitable again. And granted, that might be due to, you know, some exchange rates being favorable and whatnot, but... they're still pulling in crazy revenue. The cries for them to make iOS games have been renewed yet again, and the argument kind of goes like, Nintendo's brand is so strong, they should support iOS gaming. iOS gaming has poor pricing structures and needs a strong brand like Nintendo to bring them down, but Nintendo's brand isn't strong enough to support their own hardware, blah, 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 blah.
Me, or does very few of the people crying for Nintendo to go third party own Nintendo systems? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I hear you. I think most of it's due to people who say they like the IPs, but, you know, don't want to actually own a system to play them.
Some people have really, like, they're so mad. They're like, I want to play Zelda. I want to play Wonderful 101. I want to play Bayonetta 2. I want to play all these games. And everyone's like, so get a Wii U? And they're like, I don't like Nintendo games.
No, I got to buy an Xbox One even though it has nothing I want to play on it. It's the one that all my friends are going to play.
It's a lot of social pressure. I really think the stigma of Nintendo being the kiddie system is really hard for them to get over. But
I think we're just jealous, is that, you know, we want to be Nintendo fans so we can beat up on Nintendo and no one else can beat up on Nintendo.
Yeah, maybe. I know what it is. But I played Call of Duty, and I've played, you know, some of these mature games. Mature, but, you know, I don't know. For me, they seem a little juvenile for my taste. I was playing Ninja Gaiden 3 the other day, and it's really, really gory, and there's a lot of swears in it.
That's
weird. And I was embarrassed to play it. When my wife came home, I turned it off.
Wow.
I, embarrassed to be seen playing it because, you know, it was like ripping people's arms off and stuff, and everyone was like, F this, F that. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, oh, video games are not art. You know? You know, and I know a lot of the tween audience would feel incredibly embarrassed to be caught dead playing a Mario game, but like that's what I put on, and we had a lot more fun with that.
Right.
I don't know. But you know, the problem is I'm the gamer dad market, and I think Wii U maybe does have a good spot. I think when the price goes down a little bit more, a lot of people are going to jump in on that. But the big money is like, you know, between 10 and whenever you finish college. There. And that's the problem.
Yeah,
3DS is fine.
Yeah, I think after the new the holiday season, we're going to be hearing a lot less about Nintendo going third party.
I don't know. I think Nintendo's going to have a very hard holiday. I mean, not in the portable market. They'll make money this holiday, definitely, because of, I think 3DS will continue to sell well. 2DS is, this is probably going to be a Vink was wrong from the future. But I think 3DS will continue to outsell the 2DS by a fairly large margin.
Oh, yeah, that's not going to be a problem. But because it's the same hardware, technically they can just roll into the 3DS sales numbers.
Yeah, but I've been wrong before. I thought that the DSLL would not sell as well as the small one, you know, because I thought it was more of a niche market for, like, older people who needed a larger screen. You know?
I jumped right to it. Like, I did not buy the smaller one. I think it's too small, honestly. I see someone else's, and I'm like, oh, God, how can you even play that? It's tiny.
When I look at yours, and I'm like, can you fit that in your pocket?
Mostly. If I can fold it over.
Well, a lot more than the 2DS.
Yeah. Although it is the same size as a regular 3DS open, more or less.
Really?
Yeah.
That's still...
Yeah.
I hear that it's not actually two screens. It's one screen.
I don't believe that for a second.
I it'd be a lot to make.
I suppose.
One screen with a divider. It'd be a lot cheaper to make, yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess it all depends on how the things are programmed. Like, if they have to significantly change the hardware in a way that the game's not compatible with it anymore, that would be a problem.
Compatible with it, because the hardware controls, instead of sending signals to two screens, it sends to two different parts of one screen. I mean, I don't think... I think that makes total sense. It would also make sense why you can't fold it.
I guess. We'll find out for sure once a person... Like was it like Clan of the Gerwolf? No, who tore down the Wii U gamepad?
Not sure.
Yeah, well, whoever did that will probably be able to tear down a 2DS and tell us exactly what's going on.
I ran into a problem I never thought I'd encounter.
What's that?
A gamepad loses battery power.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about it, and they're like, it only can hold like 3 to 5 hours charge.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
it's really short. Oh, it's terrible.
Like, and I was just thinking, like, I never play games that long. It's never going to be a problem to me. But been getting into Earthbound, and the light comes on, and I'm like, oh, whoa, playing for a while.
Yep.
I guess you can replace the battery with a better battery right now. But I just wonder why Nintendo didn't put the better battery into being.
Is that better battery out? I don't think so.
Out in Japan, I guess. Oh, and I guess battery life.
Okay. You know, speaking of Wii U, you're not my friend yet. I don't have a request from you.
Really? I requested Famicom Dojo.
Did you request Sean Orange?
I didn't.
Well, that's probably why I haven't checked the Famicom Dojo account.
Oh, okay. Famicom Dojo, Sean Orange, and Famicom Vink, if you have Wii U's and you'd like to friend us.
Right on.
And I think we'll end it there. This is weird. Are we endorsing these systems? Because we spent the majority of this podcast criticizing
them. I wouldn't say that. I think it was pretty even. Like, I'm not totally enamored with it. It has problems, but I'm still going to support it because even though I'm not like out there buying cartridge after cartridge or like disc after disc for either system, there's still a segment of it that I'm enjoying quite a bit. It's just baffling to me the decisions that they make that one would think would be pretty easy to keep consistent from system to system.
I think that if Nintendo really wants to make this a mainstream thing, they really need to put a little more money into the team so they can have some more first party stuff coming out on a more consistent basis. I think they still need to drop the price a little bit. I think when it hits $250, sweet spot.
Oh God, for the Wii U.
Wii U, yep.
I don't know if that's even possible without changing the hardware in some major way.
Well, this drives me nuts. All over, this is more of a topic in itself, but I'll just hint on it real quick. So many people say that Nintendo should drop the gamepad and just throw in a Pro controller and sell it for $200.
It doesn't work that people. All right, listen. You can't even get the Wii U to turn on and set up for the first time without the gamepad. That's ridiculous. You don't know what you're talking about.
The thing to do is change the firmware so that it no longer requires the gamepad to play.
You can't even use the eShop without the gamepad.
There's nothing intrinsic about the gamepad that couldn't be incorporated onto the television. No, I mean, they're saying, I mean, they're not, it's not that stupid. Like, they're, you don't even need it to, you know. It's saying that Nintendo should like, you know, do a relaunch and basically have SKU that has new firmware installed that does not require the use of the gamepad, but instead throw in a Pro controller, sell it for $200.
Oh dear God. I mean, I guess it's not a terrible idea, but it's a terrible idea.
All I can see is that what you're doing is you're releasing a slightly overpriced Xbox.
Right, because it doesn't have the software library. Yeah, at that point.
Oh no! I mean, it would still play all the Wii U games, except because there's only a couple games right now for the system that actually require using the game.
Zombie U is one of them.
Wonderful 101 has a mode that you can play with that doesn't require the use of the gamepad, but it's not as good.
Right. Man, but, I realize people are saying the 2DS is like a tacit admission that the 3D gimmick on the 3DS is overblown. I don't think that's what that means. But maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. But regardless, I think if Nintendo can bring the price down to $250, which they'll eventually be able to do, they just need to start selling more so they can produce the components cheaper.
I guess if they take out all the Wii backwards compatibility, that would do it.
Not so much. I think it's really kind of it's on the since they're using a similar architecture as well. I don't think taking that out is. I don't know. I don't know how much it saved taking out the GameCube stuff on the Wii. I think actually taking out the ability to play Wii games didn't save so much as actually taking out the components needed to have the ports. Do you know what I mean?
You mean GameCube?
Yeah, GameCube on the Wii. Yeah. When they took, I think the majority of the money they saved was taking out the cart slots and taking out the controller ports and, you know, stuff like that, more so than the actual chips that and the disk drive mechanism to play the smaller size discs.
Right, probably.
I think the actual chips to get it to play the GameCube are nominal.
Ah, dear. Yeah, I don't know. The GameCube is so intrinsic to my enjoyment of the Wii U. I can't even imagine.
The Wii U?
Yeah, the Wii U.
The GameCube?
The GamePad. Oh, the
I totally agree, and I think a lot of the critics who are saying this are just people who haven't played it yet.
Yeah. I mean, like one of the big reasons I don't turn on my Xbox anymore is because I have to use my TV. that's the truth.
I agree. Oh my gosh, in my bedroom, the signal is sometimes a little bit spotty because it's going through some walls, you know. Because my Wii U is in the living room. And so for a while, I just moved my Wii U into the bedroom. And my wife's like, what? It's not hooked up to the TV anymore. And I'm like, you know, I only use hooked up to the TV about 20% of the time anyway. It's easier for me to just move it there.
Honey, we're living in the future.
I am living in the future. All right. Anyway, I think that's it. Want to hear people's thoughts on Nintendo's hardware.
Even if you haven't actually played it. Especially if you haven't actually played it.
But, like, I posted something before when they dropped the price down to $300, and I said, are you going to get it yet? And there were a lot of people said, yeah, no, still no interest in it. And I think I'd really just like to know what would it take for Nintendo to get your interest there?
Yeah. Alternatively, what's wrong with you?
I don't think so. Like, you held off for years, you know?
For the 3DS, sure, but I had reasons. I was just waiting for the ultimate version of the hardware to come out, and I feel like I got that.
Whatever.
I knew the XL was going to come out, and I was really hoping for the second circle pad. That didn't happen, and so I wasn't as enthusiastic about buying it. Then I bought my Wii U, and that put it off for another year. That's pretty much what happened.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's your reason. I'd like to hear, and I guess for those who aren't buying the Wii U, where are you going next gen? Are you going Xbox One? Please don't. PlayStation 4?
It's coming up real fast.
I should probably eventually forgive Microsoft, but I just can't. They showed their card.
It's a little too soon. I feel like if I get one, I'm going to get a PS4 first as well.
I'm sticking with my Wii U until the JRPGs come to PlayStation 4. Then I won't be able to resist it.
Yeah.
That's how I was with PlayStation 3. Held off for a couple of years, but then Valkyria Chronicles was out, and I'm like, all right, yeah. I'll buy it.
All right, well, tell us what you think on our website, famicomdojo.tv/podcast. You can also talk to us on Twitter, Famicom Dojo, Facebook, Famicom Dojo, or free to iTunes storefront where you can leave some feedback and let us know what you think of the show, and let others know what they should think of the show too, so they will listen to it and share with their wonderful friends. We also have a dedicated Famicom Dojo YouTube channel out there right now, which is steadily growing.
Yes.
Enjoy that very much. We've been putting some fun stuff up there. The footage we took while Vink was in the States will probably be going up there before, during, and after this podcast is released. So you definitely want to check that out. And especially, Pepsi-flavored Cheetos.
Oh, dear. Yeah. We'll save it for the episode.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about our Madison Underground event and other things next time, so when no other crazy news comes out in the meantime. You never know.
Join us on the Wii U if you have it, Famicom Dojo, Famicom Vink, and Sean Orange. Twitter, Famicom Dojo, Sean Orange, and Famicom Vink. What else?
That's pretty consistent, I just realized. I looked for you as Vink on Wii U, but it wasn't long enough. It wouldn't let me hit the OK button.
And subscribe to us at youtube.com/30-somethings-bickering-about-video-games.
Or as much of that URL as will fit into your screen. There is one video up there for those who watched our 30th anniversary video, our 6 years of Famicom Dojo video, and didn't try and go there. There's a video. You should watch it. It's pretty cool.
No, it's not. Okay. We might put some stuff there. I don't know. Got to think about it. All right. And so until next time, this is Famicom Vink.
And Sean Orange.
Wishing you a safe and happy holidays.
Not too soon.
I don't know what this is going on. Rockin' bang, gay. Whoa, yay! Whoa!
Famicom Dojo.